in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This message is a little different because we're not going to be home here on Good Friday. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to mesh the two of these things together, and now the hour is late. So we're going to mesh them together, and I'm going to nip and tuck and trim. Is that all right? I used to say if I had a text, it would be this. The cross at the end of the road. I was reading, I do a lot of reading. I was reading about a little boy. It was a joke. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, so his mother stayed home with him, and his dad came back from church holding a palm branch, and the little boy was curious, and he said, "Dad, why do you have that?" And he said to his son, "Well, you see, Jesus came into town. Everyone waved palm branches to honor him, so we got palm branches today." And the little boy replied, "Oh, shucks. The one Sunday that Jesus showed up at church, and I missed it." So let's set the scene for you. Jesus has less than a week to live. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Jesus had less than a week to live, and he knew it. He has, after a little over 3 years of public ministry, decided to make it known publicly that he is the long-awaited Messiah, yeah, the king that God's people have been waiting for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
We read in the Old Testament a prophecy about a king who would come into the city riding on a colt. Zechariah predicted it would happen 500 years before he was born. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and he is victorious, yet he is humble and he's riding on a donkey."
Yeah.
See, that was 500 years before it happened.
Right.
So when folks tell you the Bible is just a fable, it is not true.
No.
500 years before it happened, prophecy had already been put forward.
Go ahead.
The time had finally come, and Jesus was ready to take his next step. He was riding toward the whole reason for his being, which was to obey God, his Father. He was riding toward the completion of his calling, toward the cross at the end of the road. See, we know today is Palm Sunday, the day that is taken from the gospel, where a whole city threw basically a parade, for lack of better terms, for Jesus. And Jesus rode into the city. The people threw palm branches in anticipation of his coming. They thought he was so wonderful and so important that they didn't even want his donkey's feet to touch the ground. So they threw palm branches, and they took their clothes off, and they threw it down on the road.
Yeah, come on.
We should call this message Fickle Folk, because this is Sunday, but Friday was coming.
Talk about it.
Jesus rode into the city. People threw branches down. So we get this Palm Sunday. This day we mark as a time of celebration where Jesus was worshipped and he was praised. But it's bittersweet for us on this end. Because we know the story.
Yes, we do.
We know that Friday is coming. We know that the cross is at the end of the road.
Yeah.
We know that many in the same crowd, just a few short days later, right now they're shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!"
Yeah.
And Friday, they said, "Crucify!" The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, right? It's sad to know that we as folks haven't changed all that much, have we? We say, "I'll follow you from here to eternity.
Come on.
Wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever you need, I've got your back." And then that's on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Friday, you can't get anybody on the phone.
Yeah.
Billy Graham has been quoted many times as saying that the greatest mission field in our country today is in the local church. The people should be sitting ready in church. Now, I'm not sure whether the statement is really true, but one thing I know is that many people, they know what to say.
Come on.
They know how to act in church.
Uh-huh.
They can speak in other tongues.
Yeah.
Their prayer language is beautiful.
All right.
Come on.
But there's no fruit.
Come on.
Because they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Salvation just empty words. We read two passages of scripture earlier. On Sunday, Jesus rode into a city with people shouting praises and praising God for the wonderful miracles that they'd seen. On Friday, they were shouting, "Give us Barabbas."
Come on now.
We want him. Crucify Jesus.
Yeah.
Why the change? Yeah. What happened from Sunday to Friday?
Come on now.
Why the change?
Tell us.
Possible reasons, but a simple reason is that their words didn't match their heart.
Right.
On Sunday.
Right.
They had a casual but not a committed faith.
Come on.
You know the type that come to church from time to time. I'm not picking, but if it hit you, say ouch. I'm not picking. If it hit you, say ouch. If you agree, say amen. They come to church from time to time looking like yesterday.
Amen.
Sometimes they look like the day before yesterday.
Come on.
You know, they come in, they have religion, but they have missed the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
So how can we have a committed faith? How can we be real and sincere? How can we be consistent in all that we do? Let's talk about it. The first key in a committed faith is not self-centered. It has to be Christ-centered.
That's right.
Because honestly, when my alarm clock went off this morning, I would have been content to just roll over, push one of my dogs to the side, kick the other one to the side, and sleep on just a little while longer. Self-centered, right?
Yeah.
It sounds obvious, but we miss it. In today's church, we tend to say, "Hey, God, here is my calendar. You know my heart, but I'm just so busy. Here's my agenda. Now I'll squeeze you in here. I'll squeeze you in there, and I'll do what's convenient and useful to me."
Amen.
We'll spend hours. Come on now, I'm talking
Amen.
Real. So y'all don't act like you don't know. We'll spend hours in the street.
Amen.
Won't we?
Yes.
We'll spend hours in the street singing. We'll spend hours in the street dancing. We'll spend hours in the street
Amen.
Drinking.
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
Amen.
We'll spend hours in line to buy shoes.
Yeah.
Pair of sneakers. Can't afford them, but we'll spend hours in line. We'll spend hours in line waiting to get into a club. Right? All over Allentown, all over Bethlehem, we'll just spend time and time and time. Saturday night. What'd y'all do last night? Don't say it out loud. What'd y'all do last night? Who did you do it with? Where were you? Why are you tired today? But we complain about 2 hours in church on Sunday morning. That's self-centered. In this passage of scripture, the people praised Jesus as he passed by, but they did it for two reasons. First, because of his miracles. He had healed the sick. He had raised the dead. They praised him because he was serving them. Second, they saw in Jesus a way to be politically delivered from the Romans, to be set free from Rome as Israel had been set free from Egypt. Their praise was tempered with an attitude of, "What can Jesus do for me?" A few days later, they had a trial, and they saw a now beaten and bruised, a disfigured Jesus, a man who no longer looked like a deliverer. He didn't look like he could conquer anything. He was beat up beyond recognition. Every time they whipped him, they pulled a piece of his flesh off. Now there he stands. And as words were said about him, they brought into the lies, quickly changed their position, because a lie was said faster than any truth that's ever been told. Right? Because folks love a lie. Today in Palm Sunday 2018, choose to honor a great king, Jesus Christ, by giving him our very best and withholding nothing. Second key to committed faith is relationship driven. Everything in this world,
everything
in this world is relationship driven. Now, whether we want to believe that or not, even when I first started ministering, it's something that hit me. Every Sunday school book that we have gone through, every Bible study that we have gone through, the same thing kept coming up over and over and over again, and it was about relationships. And first of all and foremost, our first relationship needs to be with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? We have to know who he is.
Yeah.
Because if we don't know who he is, we don't really know what he can do.
Right.
If we don't know what he can do, we won't really ask him for anything.
That's
if we don't ask him for anything, we're not going to get what he has for us. If we don't get what he has for us, we sell ourselves short. And that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
Everything, the way we relate to people, determines oftentimes how they relate back to us.
Yeah.
If we start off wrong, oftentimes, it's extremely difficult to fix it.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was impossible, but it's difficult to fix it. Think about a relationship. It doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It can be a casual relationship. It can just be meeting a person.
Yeah. Come on.
If your first meeting is not right,
yeah,
it is very difficult to fix that.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Say relationship.
Relationship.
Say relationships.
Relationship.
Many of those who gathered to throw their coats and palm branches onto the street shouted praise, but they did so because it was the popular thing to do at the time.
Come on.
You ever go to church and see somebody shout and they just shouting because the person next to them is?
Oh, yeah.
Well, come maybe on, not here, it. Right? Not here. Okay. Popular thing to do. At one brief moment, it was trendy. I'll be so glad. I'll be so glad and grateful when skinny jeans and tight-fitting suits, when that fad passes away.
Amen.
So I go to the store and get something that fits Amen. These bumps and bumps.
All right.
But it's a fad. It's popular. But things come and go.
Yeah.
But the word of God stays the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. What was wrong then is wrong now. And tomorrow is going to be wrong.
That's right.
On Thursday and Friday, they had, the people that own this building, they paid $10,000 to have a cussing pastor come from Colorado.
Yeah.
And this place was full from the front to the back. And me, being who I am, I took everything that we had in here, every vestment, every Bible, every candle, I took it all upstairs and put it in the office.
Yeah.
And then I came back on Wednesday night and I slathered this thing down with oil. And I said, when they get up here, let her do this. We can't proclaim holiness and then open up the door for it. Well, turns out,
that's right.
She wouldn't even step foot in here.
No.
Later at a trial, they were shouting, crucify him, because it was the thing to do.
Yeah.
Folks come out and they look. They don't know what's going on, but they hear the crowd shouting, crucify him.
Yeah.
So they want to get in with the crowd, and they saying the same thing too.
All right.
Yeah.
A fact, for a brief moment, it was a trendy thing to do, to let the mass murderer go and crucify an innocent man. In our own lives, our committed faith comes only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
One that is fresh every day.
Right.
Every morning.
Yeah.
Morning by morning by morning. New mercies I see.
Yeah.
They're mine. They're mine. When God wakes me up in the morning, right? He loves me so much that he watches over me all night long. And all night long, he's getting ready. Because when he wakes me up in the morning, he said, I got to get some new mercy for Tim. They're not Dawn's mercies. They're not Bishop's mercies. Pastor Dawn, excuse me. But they're for me. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Fresh. Just for me. In order to have a committed faith, we must develop and maintain a personal relationship.
Yeah.
Third thing I want to say, a committed faith is not swayed or blocked by our personal tribe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on.
At the parade, it was trending to offer praise. Everyone was doing it. But at the trial, to speak out for Jesus was risky.
Come on.
So people remained quiet. And isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we do in the church? When we should be shouting, we remain quiet. And when we should be quiet, we're shouting. And why is that? Because we won't clean up our house first.
Come on, man.
Many of us come to Jesus expecting everything to go good. You can't run down the altar, give your life to Christ, and turn around and it's all just all right.
Come on now.
Maybe some of us when the bottom drops out. We ask God why. We think it's not supposed to happen this way. We think it's just, we're supposed to come down, we're supposed to give our life to Christ, and it's going to be all right. No, it just means you're covered. It doesn't mean everything. That's when, look, when you're in the street, the devil ain't worried about you. He ain't not going to hold the bar door open for you and sit down with you. You're good right there on your own. But when you give your life to Christ and get up in the morning to come to church, all hell is going to break loose in the house. You have to press your way. Paul said, I press toward the mark of a higher call. Press means to press your way forward regardless of what is happening in your life. Our faith is based on situations and circumstances that it'll never be committed. It'll always be casual. In my life, I've gone to many big Christian events. I've been in packed stadiums. I've heard famous preachers. Praises of God rock an entire arena. Everyone is praising. But I wonder oftentimes when returning home, will everyone still be glowing from the worship? Will you go into work with the same praise that you had around other folks? Are you committed to Christ or are you casual with him? If you have a relationship with someone, leave us. Nor will he ever forsake us, but he'll stand right there with us. I was reading about a little girl who was walking in a garden. She noticed a particularly beautiful flower. She admired its beauty and she enjoyed its fragrance. She said, it's so pretty. It's so pretty to be in that dirt. So she pulled it up by its roots, ran to the water faucet to wash away all the dirty soil, and it wasn't long before the flower was dead. The gardener who came, he said to the little girl, what have you done? You have destroyed the finest plant in my garden. She said, I just didn't like it in all that dirt. The gardener replies, I chose that spot. I mixed that soil because I knew that it could only grow in that spot to be a beautiful flower. See, God has placed us exactly where he wants us to be. But we have to trust him, and his trusting will eventually see that he's using our pressures, our trials, and our difficulties to bring us to a new degree of spirituality. True contentment comes when we accept what God is doing in our lives and thank him for it. While they were shouting praises to Jesus, Jesus knew that the cross was at the end of the road. Could you imagine what he must have been thinking? I go into work sometimes, and I know some of the folks, they talk to me, they say hello, good morning, but I know in my mind what they really think, but I still go on ahead. And I wonder, what was Jesus thinking? Riding on that donkey, and they were shouting, Hosanna! I bet you he was looking about saying, he's going to be so crucified. This one is going to be tricky. It is a good thing it was him. Because if it had been me, I'd have left y'all right here. He knew the cross was at the end of the road. So I ask you, is your faith committed or is it casual? As we approach this week where our Jesus suffered incredibly, this week where he suffered for our sins, our past, our present, and future, where the nails that hung him on the cross, doesn't Jesus deserve a second look? Don't you think we need to go back and look at who he really was and what he really did? We preach the same old stuff. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. What we don't say is every time the hammer went down on the nail, it was for us. Every beating he took, it was for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on now.
Doesn't he deserve total control? Doesn't he deserve at least a personal relationship?
Come on now.
Yes, he does.
This week, consider it and choose to give all that you have to him. See, this journey didn't begin on Palm Sunday.
No, it didn't.
No.
See, we talk about Palm Sunday as, and we say the cross at the end of the road, but the journey didn't begin on Palm Sunday. The journey to Jerusalem didn't begin in Jericho.
No.
It didn't begin in Galilee. It didn't even begin in Bethlehem. No. The journey to the cross began as the echo of the crunching of the fruit in Adam's mouth in the Garden of Eden. Christ then set his way to Calvary. Now let's forget any suggestion that he was trapped.
Come on.
Erase any theory that Jesus made a miscalculation.
Come on.
Right? Ignore any speculation that the cross was a last-ditch attempt to raise a dying ministry. These are things that are being said and written. For these words tell us anything. They tell us that Jesus died on purpose.
Come on.
No surprise, No hesitation, no faltering, no regret,
right.
Just pure love.
That's right.
See, he knew that the cross
was
at the end of the road. Fanny Crosby, an American mission worker, she was a poet, she was a lyricist, she was a composer. She was the most prolific hymnologist of all time.
Uh-huh.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
In history, she wrote more than 8,000 hymns and gospel songs.
Uh-huh.
More than 100 million copies printed. Listen, did y'all know she was blind?
Come on now.
Did y'all know she was blind?
Come on.
Blind from birth. To God be the glory, great things he's done. He so loved the world, he gave his own son. That's Fanny Crosby.
Yeah.
Right? Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, this wonderful word proclaim. That is Fanny Crosby. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. That's Fanny Crosby. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That is Fanny Crosby, and my favorite, pass me not, oh gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. That's Fanny Crosby.
Yeah.
I'm almost done. Perhaps one of the most celebrated and most sung hymns in the church. Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Yeah.
See, you can't write and sing about the cross
if
you don't know nothing about it.
Right.
You can't write and sing about the cross if
you
don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It takes a personal relationship to be blind and sit down and pen words, Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Yeah.
There's a precious fountain, and it's free to all. A healing stream, and it flows from Calvary's mountain. Doesn't that sound all right? Near the cross.
Near the cross.
Near the cross. Be my glory ever. See, Jesus knew that the cross was at the end of the road.
Yeah.
And you have to understand, my brothers and sisters, that the cross is at the end of your road.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Less than a week later, Jesus would be was betrayed.
Yeah.
Listen. He allowed himself to become a prisoner.
That's right.
Yeah.
We didn't do nothing to him that he didn't allow.
That's right.
Right?
That's
he allowed himself to become a prisoner. They mocked him.
Yeah.
They called him names. They spit on him.
Yeah.
They whipped him all day and all night long.
Yeah.
Every lash tore his flesh.
Yeah.
Every time that whip hit him, it stuck in him.
Yeah.
And they had to do this. And when they yanked it back, they yanked pieces of his flesh out. For you and for I. Come on.
Amen.
He was bloody, bruised, and physically unrecognizable. They made him carry his own cross.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
We just think about how he tried to carry it.
Yeah.
But think about it. They made the creator, the man that made the tree.
Yeah.
They made him carry a cross that was made from a tree that he ordained to be. They're going
to
hang him on a tree that he created.
Yeah,
how arrogant of us.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus knew that the cross was at the end of the road.
Yeah.
You see, they laid down the cross and they turned him over on it. Then they nailed his hands and his feet. They tied everybody else's.
That's right.
But they nailed him.
Nailed.
Some said they did it to be mean. I don't think they did it to be mean. I think they did it because they knew who he really was.
All right.
And they were so arrogant, they thought, we better not tie him. We better nail him now. Right? Put a foot on top of a foot and nail it.
Yeah.
Hand out this way and nails through his palms, but never broke a bone in his body.
Right.
Every spike and every strike of the hammer, our sins were being crucified with every whip and every strike of the hammer.
Yeah.
It was for you and it was for I and it was for our sins. And they thought that they had won. And they pulled the ropes up to lift the cross. And they thought they were, they felt they were doing something. They were intent on killing him. So they put the ropes together to lift the cross up, right? But the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So as they lifted the cross, they thought that they were doing something. They thought they were making a statement. Don't you dare say you're the king of the Jews. Don't don't you dare say you're the Messiah. If you do, we'll kill you. We'll crucify you. But if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So with every tug of the rope, the cross rose. And as it rose, so did Jesus. Come on, y'all, I'm done. He was lifted up for our sins. He was lifted up so that we might have life, that we could live. He was lifted up so we could forgive. He was lifted up so we could love. He was lifted up so we could be saved. He was lifted up so we could get up out of our situation. He was lifted up so all men could be drawn unto him. Lifted up for peace. He was lifted up so I could have joy. He was lifted up so I could have healing. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw not just you, I'll draw all men unto me. It's finished, it's in my hands. I commit my spirit, and he voluntarily came up the door. He died so I could live. He died so you could live. He died so you could live in abundance. So whatever is gained has already been purchased. Thank you.
Hallelujah.